Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and we're fresh off the long 3-day weekend. And I have today with me Matthew Watts. You're the CTO of Lemflow, correct, Matt?
That's right. That's right. I joined here at Lemflow back in 2019, and helping us help small to medium sized businesses have better access to capital, as well as providing data orchestration services to the fintech sector.
Very cool. And I remember last we did a podcast about a little bit over a year ago. You were clean shaven. Now today you have the full beard going. So yeah, I guess you're busy. You don't have time to shave.
That's right. Yeah, it's been full on. We've been releasing some great functionality for our clients, as well as trying to innovate as much as possible. So yeah, the time's been sparse, that's for sure.
Yeah, and growing a company, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So Lemflow continues to grow. We've been really scaling up the technology teams, the infrastructure, a lot of different components, as well as operations. So it's been a great journey, and it's only just beginning.
And if I remember right, you were around 60 people between employees and non-employees. Have you hit the 3-digit mark yet?
Yeah, so we're over 100. We're over
Wow.
100 now, and as we go into 23, we'll be scaling that even more, just as the requirements for technology increase, as well as all the different services that we offer. So there's three core services that we have today at Lemflow, everything from data orchestration to capital as a service, and ultimately, as those businesses grow and the throughput increases, we'll have to definitely scale the teams up to support those increases.
Interesting. Capital as a service. That's the first time I've heard of CaaS, I presume, correct?
That's right. That's right. It's where customers leverage the compliance and security that we provide at Lemflow, to extend their own capital programs or even start capital programs through Lemflow. And then what they can do typically is they can build their own programs leveraging the data orchestration that we have and different workflows that we offer, to support their own internal teams, in extending their capital.
Interesting. And is that a service that you guys brought to market? Like, are you the first ones to offer this?
I don't believe we're the first ones. I think the offering that we have is unique in the space. I'm not familiar with another vendor or even a company that offers the same services that we do, especially with the hybrid approach of leveraging tools that we've already built, like a SDK, all the way going through to a headless approach, and solely leveraging the APIs to build their own systems in-house.
And who would be your typical customer for that?
It really does depend. I think ultimately we see people in a lot of different verticals. I think notably the most applicable would be companies like e-commerce solutions that have multiple or hundreds of companies underneath them that are looking to extend that line of capital to help them grow their business. So I think that's probably the most applicable customer.
Interesting. And what about financial institutions like banks and venture capitalists and things like that? Would they use this product?
They would use it. I think they would use a different product to connect to the banking core, which would be more around data orchestration. So really leveraging KYB, KYC services to increase the performance of their in-house solutions. So I think there's ultimately two different directions they could go. I don't think they would use the SDK, but I think ultimately integrating directly with the systems at Lemflow would be more beneficial in that regard.
Okay, well, cool. And then you said you've released a few other products. Can you expand on those?
That's right. Yeah. So we've streamlined the process for data orchestration, where people are actually able to build their own workflows now. So customers can literally come in and build out the workflow that they're looking to, the end result they're looking to achieve to execute against information. And the scorecarding as well, which is ultimately on the final side, which basically helps us match funders more specifically to these use cases that we're seeing. And those are the two main ones. The other ones that we're working on now, which we plan to release in the first quarter of 23, is a workflow builder where they can actually build these workflows instead of just the data orchestration components of things. So it's very exciting. And it's obviously scaling the infrastructure as well as we go down that road to support for those features.
Interesting. So when you say a workflow builder, is that like a WYSIWYG type of UI where they can flow it themselves?
That's right. They'll be able to define the flow, and then they would be able to define the actions that occur after the flow through data orchestration. And then they would also be able to leverage the scorecarding capabilities to make sure that It's going in the direction that they are looking for as a company, or they could even fund in-house. So it really does depend. So our goal is to create an operating system that they can leverage to conduct business, and to either do things themselves or to rely on our infrastructure to execute against the whole pipeline.
Interesting. So yeah, best of both worlds. You can do it yourself or use our product, use our tools and services, correct?
That's right. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So interestingly, you started your company a few months after COVID hit. Last time we talked, we were right in the middle of it. We seem to have come out of it. So what changes have you seen over the course of these last, we'll say, 2 years that you could share with us, especially in terms of the lending as part of the business?
Yeah, totally. I mean, ultimately, I think banks are a lot more restrictive when you go through a recession or when you go through uncertainty. So what we've seen is an uptick on our side, because as these banks are becoming more restrictive and they want to give up money as easily as they did before, we're seeing an increase of additional SMBs coming to us and looking for more innovative approaches to getting access to that capital. Nothing for us really has changed from a remote workforce standpoint. We've always used a remote workforce, and it's paid dividends for us. It's extremely effective for us to really achieve on the goals that we have.
And since you brought up remote workforce, you were a remote workforce from day one. You sounds like you've maintained that stance. Do you find that you're hiring people from even farther parts of the world, or are you trying to stick to certain geographies?
Yeah, so right now we try and concentrate within the US time zones, so we can really provide that core service to our clients. And then ultimately, as we scale up and grow, and extend the features to LendFlow internationally, then what we'll be doing is setting up more international teams, starting with the UK, potentially going over to Poland, and scaling that way.
And interesting, UK just had a big announcement yesterday. They have a new, I think it's a new prime minister, right?
That's right. Yeah. I haven't been following that news, but yeah.
I just saw it late last night. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not quite sure what that means. and I don't think that'll have an effect on you for quite some time, but you never know. I mean, global politics plays a role in fintech, correct?
That's right. These kind of changes have impacts. I don't think, like you're saying, I don't think those impacts are necessarily immediate, but ultimately they do have, it's something that we have to be cautious of as we move forwards and adapt, as they say.
Yes, and adapt. So, and then the other thing we've touched on is the recession, because, I mean, whether you call it a recession or not, it's two consecutive quarters of negative GDP has certainly occurred, and it looks like there'll be a third. Because of that, has that an effect, do you think, on the global fintech market?
I think that's a good point. So I think ultimately, whenever there's recession, there's uncertainty. And I think as that happens, as a company, what the strategy that we've chosen to take is just to become a lot more transparent, so people can really understand the numbers behind the company, which ultimately improves the confidence in everybody at LendFlow. Has the fintech market been affected? Yeah, I mean, we've seen big companies that had to do massive layoffs, and it's very, very difficult. It's a challenging time, but it's a matter of really just focusing on what's important and how we can deliver value to our customers. That's where we found we've had the most success. So really just keeping our heads down, really understanding, the positioning we have in the market and really executing towards that end goal.
Mm. And yep. I mean, I don't see that we're going to come out of the recession this year or maybe even next year. So where do you see LendFlow going over the next, let's just say, year to 3 year time frame?
Yeah, so business for us has increased. It hasn't decreased for the reasons that we alluded to before. And so ultimately for us, it's really scaling the team up, really prioritizing in the things that provide value to our customers. So we're very adamant to working with our customers, making sure that we're filling out their roadmap, not only our roadmap. So understanding where they're looking to go in the next 6 months and making sure we can really help them as a partner to deliver against those goals. So for us, it's scaling the infrastructure, scaling the teams, especially on engineering at LendFlow, and then ultimately operations as well. But yeah, building in more automation for us is going to be a really big key initiative for 2023, and really pushing the boundaries when it comes to that.
And do you see yourself branching out into other markets over the next 3 to 5 years? You know, it sounds like I would assume a lot of your business is US based, correct?
Right now, it's primarily US and Canada based. Yes, that's correct. But we do plan to move over to, I think the first location would be Europe, maybe England, Great Britain, and then Australia, and then branching from there.
Interesting. Or I'll give my home country a plug. Ireland just got named the number 3 country in the world.
There you go. Yeah, so, Ireland as well. Yeah, I think they have a very similar system to the UK. So it should be relatively straightforward, I feel, to do that as well. But yeah.
Yeah. And do you foresee, like, as you branch out into these other countries, do you think you'll have teams in these other countries and they'll be remote teams?
Yes, we definitely will. We will have remote teams, and not only remote teams, but also across different sectors, different parts of the business. So we'll have to have different security teams, specialized teams for compliance, as well as engineering and product. So as we scale those up, it's really important to understand what we're trying to achieve as a business in each company, and to really shoot for those goals. So setting up those maybe micro teams isn't the right word, but I think ultimately different departments across each of those countries is going to be critical to our success.
And as part of your growth plan, do you see that, let's just pick a country, well, let's pick England. Do you foresee that you'll have a team of developers in England that specialize on the English, you know, the European product? Or do you, you know, and they'll be around the London area. Do you think they can be anywhere in Europe? How do you foresee that happening?
Yeah, I think ultimately, when it comes to Europe, I think having specialized teams in England would make sense to the market within England. But I think ultimately, eventually, there would be teams that could cover the whole market within Europe. If that's the direction that we chose to go, I don't think it's necessary to have a dedicated team in each country when the majority of the work could be done across multiple different countries.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the future looks bright for LendFlow. It looks like you're going to be busy for years to come. Would you agree?
That's the plan. That's the plan. It's been a great journey, and there's a lot for us to achieve. John, the other co-founder, and myself really are adamant to improving the product day by day. We're never going to settle, and for us, it's really important to make capital accessible to more people across the world.
And which is a very worthwhile venture, because without capital there is no business. It's pretty simple. It's what makes the world go round. It's not what makes the world go round, but from a financial standpoint it is.
100%. No, most definitely. I couldn't agree more.
Well, hopefully we can do this again in another year, and you maybe you'll have the full Santa beard by then. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe we can try. or nothing at all, right?
Yeah, you never know. And maybe, you know, I'll get rid of this 3-day, this holiday fuzz that I let go. So
totally.
Well, Matthew, thank you again. I wish you all the luck in the world. Sounds like you're moving full steam ahead. You're far ahead from where we were a year ago. So that's good news. And have a great week.
Likewise. And looking forward to connecting again in the near future.
Yeah, it sounds good. All right. Have a good one.